Welcome.
He was suggesting that there were a lot of different universes, but they were all occupying the same space. They weren't separate from one another. He was suggesting that there were a lot of different universes, but they were all occupying the same space and time. They weren't separate from one another. He was suggesting that there were a lot of different universes, and they were all occupying the same space and time. And so they were all equally accessible. He was suggesting that they weren't separate from one another, that all these universes were occupying the same space and time.
Come on, Butch, hold on. It's no joke.
I don't need to hold on.
Come on, hold on, man.
I don't need to hold on. The thing barely goes. See?
Oh, come on, man. Hold on. This is an airport. It's no joke. Gotta do what they say.
I don't need to hold on. It's for my own safety. This thing's not gonna stop or anything.
You don't know? Please hold on, man. It is a safety issue. It's an airport. It's a federal thing.
No.
Please hold on. Just for me. Do it for me.
We're almost here.
Oh. You gonna eat your ginger cookie?
No, you can have it.
Penny whistle, sir?
No, I'm good.
You want your wrapper back?
Penny whistle,
no,
sir?
Keep it.
Give me your hand!
No, it's helpless. Save yourself.
When I save you, I also save myself.
Well, not really, but all right.
Remind me again why the Brown Llama, someone of such learning, such knowledge, and a possessor of such rare wisdom and skill, would put his highly valuable life at risk to save a lowly cabin boy.
Well, he's a hero. He learned this in the Himalayas, to value all creatures.
So it's his religious training that helped him override his reason.
Imagine that the llama and the boy are friends. He's like a pet to you. You've had a beloved dog before, haven't you?
Yes. So I'm sentimentally attached to it, and I risk my life for this dog-slash-working-class person.
Whatever you gotta do to feel it.
This is George Howe, ladies and gentlemen, and let me tell you something. Today, fish patty with rice, coleslaw, apple turnover, green beans.
What a person chooses to announce to the world, that is who they become. So should a man pronounce and declare the county school lunch menu, then so shall he become a sort of lunch menu, on which each day only seems different because the entree changes, but substitute country fried steak for chicken croquettes, and you have essentially the same thing. A subpar chunk of meat pretending to be something it's not. And this perfectly describes our radio hero. Now, believe it or not, as mediocre and as incoherent as it sounds, and as tedious as his voice sounds, this is the most popular radio show in the entire universe. Again, not because of any intent on the part of the host. It's simply because, as unlikely as it sounds, this unusually lucky fellow is inadvertently sending his show out in code. Another secret language that he is unaware he is using, and in that language, the meaning is entirely different and highly desirable. It's a very popular show in the rest of the universe. He is oblivious and ignorant to this, and so are you. And now the world is about to end. And this is very distressing to a lot of folks elsewhere in existence. You know how people are about their favorite shows. So a rescue mission is planned and executed to save George Howe from the fate of the rest of the earth. And by so doing, to save Hardy White. King salad, brown beans with sky hoops,
left-handed Brussels sprouts. Come with me.
Excuse me?
Come with me now.
Why? What's going on?
You're in danger.
Is there a fire?
Sure. Come on.
I don't hear an alarm or smell smoke.
It's the silent, odorless kind of fire. Silent but deadly.
Oh. Chemical?
Chemical, exactly. Come on.
Do I have time to grab anything?
Okay, we're gonna die in like 2 seconds, so think about what would be the thing most worth dying for.
All right, let's go.
In here.
Is this a closet?
It's a time machine.
The chemical fire can't penetrate the safe room, right?
Or the fabric of space and time. Well, yeah, it's not really like a fabric. It's more like the stuff they use to make sewing patterns.
When will it be safe to go out?
Well, judging by the current lack of planet, never.
Lack of planet?
Well, there's planets, but not the one we just left. It's gone now.
So, there was no chemical fire, my planet was destroyed, and you came to get me in a time machine.
Exactly.
Why does that not seem weird?
Because it happened. You know it happened. Yeah, but I should be losing my mind in incomprehension and grief right now, but this seems normal. It is normal. Everything is normal.
My world and everything I know is gone, and I'm in a time machine.
Yep.
Where are we going?
That's not the question.
All right. When are we going?
That's not the question. The question is, where are we going?
All right.
And the answer is to a different, almost identical universe. You will barely know anything is different. There's only slight little changes.
Like what?
Well, like your name. Your name isn't really...
George Howe.
George Howe. It's Hardy White.
Hardy White?
In this universe, you're nothing. Nobody. With nothing going on.
Hey, now, wait a second.
But in other universes, you have the most popular radio show ever.
Really?
Not because of anything you did. It's just by chance. There's so many universes, you're bound to be a hit in one of them.
So, I'm not George Howe. I'm Hardy White.
Correct.
And my planet is gone, or is it my whole universe?
Good point. Entire universe is gone. Switching universes now. Really, it's as easy as filling out a change of address form.
But if my universe is gone, who is there to tell about my change of address?
Another good point. That's a time saver. Okay, we're here.
Well, what do I do?
You'll find everything exactly like you left it. Same studio, same people more or less, but now you're Hardy White instead of George Howe, and now you're the most important broadcaster in the universe instead of the least. Okay, enjoy!
But what do I do or what do I say?
Hey, Hardy.
Hey, Lou.
You okay? You look funnier than usual.
I'm okay. Except I think I used to be a guy named George Howe, and I was rescued in a time machine by the philosopher Baruch Spinoza and brought here to this universe where I have the most important and popular radio show in the world.
I'm not doubting you, but part of that is factually incorrect. You are not the most popular and important radio show ever. That would be the Mozahowitz Show. That's the most popular important show of all time.
Oh.
But I love your show, and so do lots of people.
Well, what about the other stuff?
People switch universes all the time for work or school or what have you. You probably got switched around for some reason. Radio seems to permeate other realities. So those who do the schedules sometimes switch entities back and forth between different worlds to keep a nice variety of shows. You got switched in the schedule of life is all.
Oh, well, that explains it.
Morning.
Morning, Butch.
It's the guy from the time machine.
What?
Butchie?
That's the guy that took me from my universe and brought me here.
Hardy, that's Butchie. Are you okay?
Quit your joking around. It's too early.
Hardy, what's up?
Who is this person?
That's Butchie.
Cut it out.
This is the guy who appeared in my studio and took me in a time machine.
Butch, what's going on?
Not sure.
Why doesn't Hardy recognize you?
He recognizes me. He just has the wrong me.
Have you used the time machine recently?
No, it's busted. It's been sitting in the rec room for months.
Do we know each other?
Yes, we're roommates and business partners.
This is Butchie, Hardy. You guys are friends.
Not friends, really. I'm sorry. You just look like the guy who brought me here.
Uh-oh.
It's the Mozahowitz Program. Starring Mozahowitz.
Oh, where's Mo? He's late for the show.
He'll be here. We go through this every week. It's some power play he does, being late. He just needs to feel important and popular.
Well, if he's not here, he can't be either one.
Hi, everyone. Hello, Mo.
You're late again.
Cool your calm jets, Oliver Onions. I was just using the time machine to eliminate the competition. Mo, that doesn't sound good.
If you get us in trouble, I'm not going to jail for you.
I would totally go to jail for you if I were you. What competition are we talking about? Nobody. Just some guy who was honing in on my territory. I just relocated him like a raccoon that got into the attic. I took him into the woods where he'll be more happy. My only concern about the house is this. On the one side, there seems to be sort of a ravine. Now, I don't know if that was put there for rainwater, but I've noticed that it seems to be unfathomably deep. And I say that because I put a stick down there, and there doesn't seem to be a bottom. Now, I don't know if this is some sort of crevasse, maybe, that's opened up, or a sinkhole, and the reason I wonder that is because on the other side of the house, you have that precipitous drop there, that cliff that seems to just go into nowhere, just drops into space on the other side of the... I don't know whether that's the north side of the house or the... well, maybe you'd call it the northwest side of the house, but whatever is on the other side isn't there, doesn't exist, and I was thinking, now, in the rainy season, is this going to be a problem? Or, for egress, and I mean by leaving, would it be possible to even leave the house? I love it. It's beautiful. Another concern is the bathrooms. There seem to be 20 of them. Now, some of them are a good size. Others, I notice, are the size of kitchen cabinet drawers. And I wonder if that's super practical. I don't know whether a lot of the people live there were different sized people, or also, would we need a roof? I noticed there is not one, and we would be using the place, I guess, mainly to reside in, to live in. And if there's no roof, I'm worried again about, is there weather? Now, I look out there, and there doesn't seem to be an atmosphere, so I'm answering my own question and thinking weather is probably not a problem. But it could be. Another thing on the list, would we need a floor ever eventually or anything? And I realize these are add-on, these are projects. I'm a bit of a home doer. Is that the word? Home, do it yourself. Sir, they say to me. I like to try to hire people, and they say, do it yourself, is what they end up yelling at me. And I think it's fantastic advice. And there's lots of stores now that'll help you do it yourself. There's a grocery store that if you want to make your own food, they help you do that by selling you the different parts you'll need. And you can ask a lot of them, like, how would I put this together into spaghetti? And they, a lot of times, they'll say, I don't know. Or they'll try to help. People, if you ask them and they don't know, they'll try to answer anyway. And that's because we basically want to help one another, even if the advice is horrible and will harm them. Say, I would love to be of assistance to you, so I'm going to wave you into traffic. Go ahead. You can go. It's your turn. Crash. Boom. You see, but I've done a good deed. So I feel good. My heart is open. And I feel like you must feel the same way selling me this house. So I pretty much answered my own questions.
That's good. So you'll take it?
Sure. I'll take the house.
Oh, it's a beautiful night out, Lou.
It is. There's even a slight breeze.
Oh, it's really lovely. I love just sitting out on a nice, warm... Oh, my goodness, someone's setting off firecrackers. I love that sound. It reminds me of summertime or a war.
Why not me? Why not me? If it's gotta happen and it's gonna happen, why shouldn't it happen to me? Why not me? Oh, why not me? If it's gotta happen and it's gonna happen, why shouldn't it happen to me?
Oh, my friends, hello and welcome to the Why Shouldn't It Happen to Me Club. We're all in it together. Thank you for coming to the club meeting. Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Good things happen to us. Bad things happen to us. Oh, they're both difficult to accept. You say good things are difficult to accept? Yes, they are, especially in others. Say, look at that person. Good things are happening to them. I bet they don't even know how exceptional that is or that I'm suffering. Look at them. They think their poo doesn't smell. Well, you know what? I bet they do know their poo smells. What you gotta watch out for are people that think their poo smells so good they're gonna enter it into a poo smell contest. I'm gonna win a ribbon for how good my poo smells. No, not here, friends. You're at a club with like-minded and like-poo-scented people, and I just want to say I want you to relax. You are good enough. You are good enough to succeed or fail. Yes, my friends, we are all human beings. We're all put in this situation together. We are all, everyone who is listening at least, I know, are vertebrates, most of them. And say, well, no, I'm listening with a friend who's not a vertebrate. Would you say they're an invertebrate? Yes, they are. Well, hello, little friend without a spine. Most of us have one, figurative or literal. Just literal. I don't even know what figurative means. Say, have a spine, have courage. My spine has itself. It's there regardless. I don't really have anything to do with it. There it is, my spine. I had nothing to do with putting it together, nor did I have anything to do with choosing my body. I wish that there was a way to, Mr. Potato Head-like, pick out your features and everything. Say, I'll start with the body. And say, well, all we have are the potato-shaped ones. Okay, I'll just take whatever, potluck. What is that? Oh my goodness. That's an interesting expression as a child. I didn't know what it meant. And then I went to church potluck luncheons and I thought, well, I still don't know what it means. I think is it a type of casserole or something? Is it a type of canned green bean? I don't know. I think it means chance. When I was a young man, my grandparents would play a dice game. Was it craps? No, not craps. My goodness. Yes, my grandparents would get down on their knees on the curb and say, come on now, join us now, Junior, they would call me. They would play a dice game called Kismet. It's like Yahtzee. You've heard of Yahtzee. Kismet is like Yahtzee, but the dice have different colors on it so you can have a flush or something. And what you do is it's like cards, but you roll the dice. And then you get either kismet or Yahtzee. Both are words that mean, what are you going to do? Right? It's just chance. And when you take chance, good or bad. You don't know whether it's going to be a good thing. Say, I'm going to go ahead and draw from the chance pile. Uh-oh, got to take off your top hat and go to jail. Can you keep your top hat in jail? I think they put it in a plastic envelope and you get it back at the end. What, is there an end? Or would you need it in jail? The only time I could envision needing a top hat in jail as if there's a talent contest and you decide, I want to do some magic. And people say, if you're so magic, why don't you disappear out of this jail? And that is when the plan goes off. Your friend works in the laundry section. He wheels the laundry basket out. You're on stage. And you have noticed, because another friend has been working on repairs to that stage, that there is a sort of a booby hatch trap. It was an old Orlando club. That's how I remember it. And you can fall down in there. It was used in the old days for disappearing acts or something like that. Or if the orchestra leader there was a prison riot, said, I need to get out of here. And it led down to an old laundry chute that went into an old aqueduct. Not an aqueduct, old sewer. Aqueduct is something different. And there's signs all over the place in the prison that tell you that, and still here I am repeating that silly thing. I meant like a conduit, like some underground tunnel that had water in it. But now you say, I want to go, and my friends and I want to act out some sort of Dungeons and Dragons thing down there in real life. Oh no, you're going to get trapped in there. You don't want to do that. But say, we're in prison anyway, so let's throw caution to the wind and go ahead and escape. When I visited San Francisco as a young man, I visited the prison there, Alcatraz. I wanted to call it Ellis Island. It's not that. That'd be terrible. To go, welcome to our country. Immediately go to prison. Oh, that would be shocking, wouldn't it? So this is where we put people like, I don't know, who had nicknames like Birdman and Pigeon Man and all. And we put them in Alcatraz because they had done something heinous, like rob a bank with a dead body. And so near the end, though, of the prison's usefulness, people escaped from it because it was crumbling down, because it turned out it was all made of sugar. And over the years, the rain, the San Francisco rain, and a lot of the toxic clouds and everything, chemicals from the Ghirardelli chocolate, would get on it and destroy the prison forever. Now, how do we destroy prisons in our minds? Why do we lock things up? Why do we do it? Why do we hurt our fellow man? Oh, I don't know. I thought you knew. Oh, my goodness. Let's look in the chance pile. Maybe we'll get the answer. That's the thing. If we go looking for the answer, we might go into the kismet pile. We might go into the chance pile. If we're looking to the answer for our question, if we're looking for a moral answer, if we're looking for an answer about God, and we go ahead and we draw that card, we might get the wrong answer. We won't know we have the wrong answer. We said, I'm going to leave it to chance. And there it is. There's chance doing its thing. And sometimes its thing is the opposite. It plays the opposite game. So I'm going to tell you the things that are opposite true. This is why, in my life philosophy, you will hear me say, you are seemingly contradicting yourself. Am I? Yes. Am I, though? Yes. See how I'm just constantly deflecting it like an early Pong game, like the game Pong? Do you remember that? In the early days of computers, they didn't have very good graphics, and they had, of course, we're all real familiar with the game Pong, and it really was just the letter I and a period. And that was, it was meant to say this. It'd say, I exist, period. Just I. There is only I. I and I. So that's kind of a Rastafarian thing. Yes, but think about it. The only you is another I. And then we are bouncing that period back and forth. That period's the end of our thought. Say, there's just I. I'm done, period. And you think, there is only I. I'm done, period. And there's only one period, and we're passing it back and forth. Just like we're living in a dorm together, and we're synchronized. Are your thoughts in my head, Hardy? I hope not. I hope I'm not sharing them accidentally, like my phone sending private pictures to people without my permission. Is that done? I don't know. I'm no phone. I'm barely a phone customer. I don't like to speak on the phone. It's scary to me because I can't see the expression of the person on the other end. And I'm afraid that I'm hearing them. I'm afraid. Listen to this sound. You've all heard this if you're a self-conscious person. You know what that sound is? That's the sound of someone rolling their eyes back. Okay? And it's, oh no, I totally heard them roll their eyes. And you try to say, you're rolling your eyes, right? No, I'm not. And you can hear them if you're sensitive. If you're sensitive, you hear things like that. People rolling their eyes, or you go, oh, I hear you're tapping your foot, and you're wearing a sock, and it's on carpet, and I still hear it. I still hear it. I still hear it. You don't really want to be with me, right? Is that it? You don't fully love me? Listen, I can be impatient with you and still love you. I'm no, who do you think I am anyway? I'm an idiot as well. Don't look to me for validation. Don't look to any other human being. You know what we are? We're spines with water balloons full of gunk and urine and guts hanging from us. That's who you are asking to be judged by. I'd like to be judged by you, walking, talking animal. That's look, it's nasty. What a nasty looking thing. What's inside of you? The other day, I had to be x-rayed for a complaint. Is that what you call it? Say, I have a little bit of discomfort. It's not real pain. It's complaint. But they tell you, go anyway, because it's probably fatal. And so I went and I had an x-ray on my lower part of my area to look at, it was a bone structures they were looking at. And I, they say, you're fine. But I got back the written report, and it said, yes, we've got a pretty good look at the area, although it was blocked by gas and poo. They didn't say it like that exactly. They kind of did. I forgot what they said for poo. That's not the medical word. But they basically said, you know, this guy is just full of duty and gas and everything. And there it was, and we saw it. And now they know. They know what's going on inside. They know that I'm not an angel, that I'm not some pure thing, that I'm not like a stuffed animal stuffed with light and goodness and things like that. And I don't know what else. Ground, beautiful gold dust or something. No, it's not that at all. It's more putrid than that. And there I am. And I'm trying to tell you what to do. I'm trying to That's why I don't want to... I'll judge you sometimes just out of habit, because it's some... You know, it's a compulsion. And I think I look good in one of those fancy wigs. Who wouldn't want to be a judge? Who wouldn't want to wear flowing robes? Feel like you're special or important or some sort of priest or something. People look up at you and say, give us a decision, as if you were the master of the universe. Really? I'm just little old me. And here you are, how heady. It's hard not to get carried away by it. Oh, my goodness, that's why lots of people in power, you feel a little bit of sympathy for them. Say, oh, I know how hard it is to not want to lord over someone like a cruel king. I was like that as a child. Sometimes you'd have bad days, and I was the sovereign of my stuffed animals, and there were days I'd just be like, that's it. No special porridge for any of you. But, sire, silence. I've had it. I've had it with all of you. No beards. This isn't the house of David. All right? I don't know what you're playing out there. Clams or something? And I'd be stomping my feet like a little king. And that's not me. Oh, friend, the next day I'd be remorseful. Please accept me again. I'm so sorry. I don't know who I am. You know, I'm frustrated with life as well. That's why I have to. I have been so confronted by my own hypocrisy. I've been so confronted by my own inconsistencies and my own shortcomings that it has really made it almost virtually impossible for me to look at you and in any way say, you know, there's something wrong with you, friend. Because then there's things wrong with me, too. How could that be? Oh, how could it be? We're supposed to be here, are we not? I've just been dropped down here. Have you been here long? Oh, you've been here about the same time as I have. Some of you have been here a little less, some more. Have any of you figured it out? Say, I have. Oh, sir, tell us about it. Well, first of all, pay me. Well, all right, good. This is going to be great. If you're taking my money, then you must have the answer. Who has the answer? I don't have the answer, but I've got something to eat. That, I tell you, it's better to do that and eat than not eat and then have an answer. What are you going to do with that? Eat it. I'd say yes. You cannot eat answers all the time. And so that's why we gravitate towards food when we go, I don't know what we have in common. Well, let's eat at least. All right. There's no show, though, where a fella travels around and say, I'm going to go travel around and stool with people. Everybody eats and everybody poops. So I'm going to go around and have stall talk. And I'm going to sit next to him in the stall and everything. It won't be graphic. I'll say, what are you doing over there? I'm trying my best. And then that's not socially acceptable, really. We don't do that anymore. Even my dogs don't. They go out in the yard and they really go to opposite ends. Say, wait a minute, you're all this yard. It happened one time. The dog was like a few feet, and the one dog said, all this yard, and you're like 5 feet away from me. This is horrifying. Can't you just go over there? I mean, as bad as it is, we have to do it out here in the yard. I know it's a lot of you guys. I don't want to talk about things like this very often. So it's so gross and everything. Oh, gosh, it's part of life.
But I noticed a lot of you spending a lot of time in the toilet. And the dog, I've noticed, my dog goes out and boom, done, like that. And you can do it on a walk. I can't imagine if you did that with a person. Say, okay, you're walking with somebody and say, pardon me, I must number two myself. And if they're, all right. And okay, I'm good to go. That's no way. People take in books and everything into the bathroom with it. Like they're going on a, like it's surviving. Like they're going camping or saying, I need a Coleman stove and I'm going to need entertainment and everything. Like you're serving time. And you got, now why is that? Is it our eating habits? Or is it because we're not dogs? I don't know, but it seems like in the wild this would have been terrible. You know, I can only guard the bushes for so long. I've got things to do. So, all right, well, just go ahead. I'll take my chances with the wolves. But it looks like that's what the dogs are saying. There's a need for expediency. Now, I can't solve your problem. Because I don't think, first of all, I don't know that there's a problem. And you haven't asked me. Now, some people do ask me to solve their problems. But I notice there's usually a catch to it. Someone come to the door, say, I'm having a problem. What's your problem? I'm trying to get your business. You got me there. If I say I'm going to solve your problem, then I'm out some money. Yes, but you're going to get a wonderful service. What kind of service? Well, we go around your house and we tell you if you got any kind of mosquito risk. You mean like standing water or anything? Mm-hmm. So I can't see the standing water myself. Yes, you can, but maybe you haven't noticed it. I probably haven't noticed it, but go on. Yes, and then we're also, I don't know, there's other things involved, and then perhaps we spray chemicals. And I know one of the things we do is put a yard sign up. Oh, tell me more about that. Well, anytime we do business with somebody, we'd like to put a yard sign in their yard, and then that lets other people know that they have done business with us. And then when we come to their house unsolicited, they'll say, oh, right, yeah, I remember seeing Mr. Old Lady Jackson, who has cognitive issues, hired you. And you go, yep, we're working on the magnificent place, too. Oh, okay, are you good? Then that's good enough for me, then. Take all my money, do as you please. Spray chemicals on my yard. You can redo my driveway in black paint. I don't care. Come on in the house. Why don't you assess me for a new burglar alarm? Yes, sir. We are assessing for burglars' alarms in this area. We have a free estimate in which if we come in and we ask you different questions about weaknesses in your security, and then you tell us and we give you a free estimate. All right. So I'm going to walk you through the house and I'll show you all the vulnerable parts of the house where somebody could break in. Yes, and if you could just give us your Google Calendar. I will do that, my friend. I am trusting and yet I am verifying, am I not? I don't want to be a sucker. I do not want to be a chump. And yet I all want to love and put my heart out there. I want to trust so badly. And it's so hard once you trust and have your trust betrayed to get back up on that trust horse. And I say you need to build something up. You need to build a bank account up of this great trust. This great desire to think the best of people. Have some kind of trust fund that you can have. That's to say, be like a trust fund baby, let's call it, or something. That's probably already, let's have a new name for it. Let's come up with new names for things. Say, I want to believe again. I know that, say, I meet adults that seem trusting and have great hearts, and I think, are they naive? Or have they found a way to integrate the knowledge that sometimes people are awful, integrate that into their life and philosophy in such a way that they don't become disheartened by it, that they accept that people are what they are and that they love them in spite of that or maybe even because of that. Really? You don't have to say the opposite of things. They love them in spite of that. No one would love someone because they're horrible. Right. Okay. That's a good point. I know. In my zeal and zest to be poetic, sometimes I like to state the opposite of something, but then the opposite of something, sometimes it's not true. It's not just a compliment. You know, say, oh, for every sweet taste, you must have a sour one. Not always. Not always. It's just like a child's birthday cake. I've added alum.
What? I've added alum to the child's birthday cake. They're all going to pucker up but good. I thought they needed some balance to their life. Too much sweetness. It is not for you to put the puckery sour, super sour alum into the child's cake. That was something that was done in Laurel and Hardy shorts. I don't even know if that's something that's done in real life. It is done in real life in candy. They put alum in these super sour, super X, triple 100 intensity sour candies. They make all the, you'll suck all the skin off of your head. It'll rip right down the back. The first place to rip is right at the base of your skull. And then all the skin comes, sucks into your mouth. All right, so you're basically a skull with a wad of flesh, of wadded up flesh in your mouth. And that's the first experience that you have. And then your eyes water, and you make, that was some sour. I don't even know if this is not even pleasant. This is way more intense than a lemon. I'm just going to suck on a lemon next time. And then you think, man, they are so pricey, though. So maybe just the artificial, maybe I'll just get some alum. Can I even get it? Look, I can't even get whole allspice berries at the grocery store. You think they're going to have alum? Well, go to this special one. I'll try. I don't know why I'm yelling. I think you internalize all the things that are wrong with the world. Sometimes you say, I know I have just this limited time. If I take everything in, right, what's going to happen? Am I going to just, I've only got this one life. I want to be cautious to a certain extent, right? I don't want to be so cautious that I don't live it or experience things, but gosh, I don't want to be so reckless that I'm just miserable all the time. Can't I have a little joy? How much joy am I owed? Then I'll know how much to take. And say, well, sometimes the joy is not immediately accessible. Well, what are you going to do? Well, you have to save up some coupons that showed that you, proof of purchase, that showed that you bought the product. And then you can send it in and get the joy, like the little ring or something that you want. My heart is full of desire, and sometimes I have to express it. So I'll do like that. What do I puncture it with? Something art. I puncture it with art, with an art dart. And then out comes all that. I call it fluid. But really what it is an expression of the frustration and love and all the emotions of just going through your daily life, of the confusion. Oh, the confusion's the biggest one. And the fear of inconsistency. If I'm something different tomorrow, then the thing I was yesterday wasn't really who I am. Who am I? Oh, if there is not at the end of all this some sort of debriefing, some question and answer session, some sit down with some executive who's going to answer some of my questions, I can't believe getting through all this and never really knowing what it was all about. What the heck was that? What just happened? That was your life, my friend. I have some major questions I would like to ask. All right, and I'm going to answer one of them for you. Okay, what? What it was football. You're hilarious. That's hilarious. This was my life. I only had one of it. I think I'm convinced that I did most of it wrong. Was there suffering where there was intended to be joy? Did I make others suffer for my joy? I don't know. I need to know these things. Well, I'm sorry. So much of it, we don't have the information on hand. I'd love to answer your questions, but I really am just a functionary, and I sit here at this desk, and I just sort of check people in. And so I know you have a lot of questions about what you've been through, and I'd love to answer them for you, and don't think I don't have them too. But, I don't know how to go about getting that information for you, and no one's ever had it, so I'm not sure
what to do, so I'm just going to sit here and hold your hand. I've found some things to do that give you certain feelings. I have found some foods that give you certain feelings, too. Oh, my goodness. All you really need, I think what you need is a cookie. Everybody senses that. That's why they have cookies available all the time when people are together. When people are together, they need a certain amount of cookies and something representing a cookie. Say no wedding or no party or no anything is complete. No life passage is complete without some sort of plate of cookie. Or even, I guess in some cultures, maybe saltines or something, but I doubt it. Because sweetness is usually associated with joy, isn't it? And with being a young person, say, oh, I want something sweet. I'm a baby. I'm a little baby. What do you want? I want mother's milk. There's not many mother's milk right now. Is there anything else I can get you? Junk it. A rennet dessert. All right. That's something I can get it. One of them? Kroger one? Yeah. All right, I'll run out. I guess I'll get that. Can you wait? Will you be all right? Mm-hmm. One other thing. What? Zweibach. I'm teething. All right. So Zweibach and Junket. Mm-hmm. I'm a little baby. All right, you're a little baby in the 1920s, I think. I don't remember. I was raised by people who were 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 raised by people from hundreds of years ago. Can you imagine that? So a lot of the things, a lot of the parenting techniques that I was parented with are really from 19th century, 18th century, 17th century.
Where are we going, Mr. Peabody?
Well, Sherman, we're going online to look at our ancestors. Oh, what kind of ancestors do you have? Who's in your past? I'll tell you right now. Uncle Single Cell. I'm Uncle Single Cell, your earliest relative. There is, in a voodoo religious tradition, the idea of a person who is the first human to die, the first man ever to die. And his spirit comes back as a sort of psychopomp to help guide you into saying, hey, man, I'm the first person to ever die. I know how it is. The first one, what is that? Is that Uncle Single Cell? It might be. It might be the same one. Who was the first person to perish? And where are they now? Do they still exist? Is everything just happening at once? It might be. It feels that way to me. It feels like there are all sorts of things happening at once. Multiple Hardy Whites happening. Multiple you, my friend. Who are we all? Are we just, if I'm you in a different place, are you enjoying the new duplex? I wonder what we're doing over there. Oh, I hope you're not suffering. I can you know, through art and literature and movies, and they might be corrupting to the mind, but they've also expanded mine. There are things that I have not experienced that I have seen depicted in art, and I have felt just a tiny taste, just a little sample like you get at the ice cream place with one of those things that's not really a spoon. It's so tiny. Flat and wooden, a little palate, tasting palate of it, of misery, of fear, of real suffering. I've only seen a little tiny taste of it. And now, I can imagine, though, amplify that hundreds of times, millions of lives. Oh, how can I not just open my arms? How can I not surrender? How can I not surrender? Why would you think you're the master of that? Why would you think you're going to defeat that? Millions and millions and millions of creatures gone before you. How could you think you're master of that? Why don't you just give in? Why don't you give up and say, I am being arrogant if I think I can control this and others. Please love me. I want to be loved. I am who I am. Oh, please be free, human being. For many years, I would repeat, whenever I had anybody's attention, children or adults or anything, I'm not a very smart guy, but I figured something out. I figured out that the message that all people are equal, that all people are equally deserving of love, that all humans have the same right
to be themselves and to live their lives free from unnecessary suffering and cruelty. That we're all equal. Oh, that is a very, very dangerous idea, and there's going to be lots of opposition to it. People go, they poo-poo that. They poo-poo it. But it's the most dangerous and radical idea there is. And I tell you, the louder you proclaim it and the more successful you get convincing people of the truth of that, the more you put your own life at risk. Why is that? What are these forces operating against it? Why would anyone want to keep us in chains like that? Why would anybody want to keep the human spirit down from knowing who your siblings are? Why would you want to keep a family apart? A family of human beings, a family of creatures, of vertebrates, of other things crawling on the earth all this life. Why would you want to keep that family from itself, alienated from itself, feuding with itself? Why would you want to keep us from those who love us the most? What would you have to gain? Oh, my friends, I don't know, but I sense that it has something to do with sweet fried dough. Hi, friends, I'm Hardy White, and I'm going to fry up some dough and convince you that it's a regional delicacy and going to get you addicted to it, and it's going to be covered with sugar or anything else you want to put on it. And it's going to be just too sweet. I'm going to feed it to you over and over again. And eventually, you're going to get sick of it. And you're going to say, Hardy, I need something else. I need something that's got a little more substance to it. That's got something like beans and rice. Are you really kidding? Are you kidding me? Yes. All right. My sweet fried dough, though, forget that, then. Yes, give us something better. I wish I could. I wish I could. I wish I could give you more. Have you ever had relatives that do that to you? Say, oh, I wish I was. If I had money, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd buy you a house. Oh, thank you very much. Go out and get some money or something. I had people tell me that all the time. You know what I'd love to do? I'd love to do for you if I had more. And to go into detail, see, that is very, thank you so much. Here's an idea. There are so many doable things that you could do. Bake me a plate of cookies. See, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be a house. So I don't have a house. You don't have to be a house. You could take some sugar, put in some water, make me some sugar water. That's it. That's all I require. Oh, I don't require much. I just like to be of some help. I want to come over and be of some help, and I might not be of any physical help because perhaps I'm lazy. And, you know, and I'm well-meaning, but I don't think I'm going to do any damage. I could, if I tried to help, you say, could you go clean those items over there? That precious vase? Whoops! That's what I envision happening. So, those also who help, who only wait and see about helping, to whom good things will come at some point, as well as the others. This is something that I had on a mug. Or was it a plaque? Something about don't pee in my pool, or I don't know, one of them. We used to go to a store when I was a child, and it was just all novelty things, like these plaques that you would want to put up. I don't know why any sophisticated person would want them. Say, oh, I want some fourth grader joke at my little home bar. Why would you need a home bar? I know, it's a little creepy. I wonder if anybody has a little home pharmacy. You know, it's like a little Rite Aid, instead of a small bar like they have, because they do that. So I'm like drinking so much that I've recreated like a pub in my living room. It's just 4 feet long, a little tiny bar. Oh, me, I'm more of a pill man. So I got a little tiny little pharmacy, like, oh, that's cute. Yeah, yeah, just wait behind this. If you just wait behind this line, give the next person a little privacy. That'd be wonderful. No, don't do. Do you need all that stuff? I don't know. It's your body. I don't know what to tell you to do. I know there are pitfalls and things. Oh, I don't want you to suffer pain on the way to pleasure. Oh, I don't want you to go down the wrong path. Sometimes it's like that. Life is like I tell you, Ida Ramel, it was correct in a lot of respects about a cereal box being very close to philosophy of life. Why is this? Because on the back of a lot of cereal boxes are a little fun maze. And those fun mazes, at the end, you just have you got to get from the beginning in the dark woods out there to some sweet candy. Now, there's different paths to go on, and some appear as if they're headed towards the candy. But in fact, they're a dead end. I don't want you to ever do that in pursuit of your candy. Go down that wrong path and get lost forever in that maze. Oh, laying there screaming for help like Scatman Crothers. I don't know. I'll be starting from the other end, so I won't ever find you. You see what I'm saying? Oh, my goodness. If you get lost on the right path. That's what I always heard. That's if I had a church, that's what I would tell people. They go, what does that mean? I go, I don't know. What's any of it mean, really? But doesn't that sound clever? If you get lost, today's sermon, I won't try it. Let me just rehearse it a little bit. Hello, good morning, everybody. Oh, come on. Y'all can do better than that. Good morning, everybody. All right. My message this morning is, I hope I remember it because of the whole good morning thing that we just went through. My message this morning is, if you're going to get lost on the right path. I like to take my boys camping. I'm just kidding. I'm just being the preacher now. Is it okay to lie if you're preaching a sermon and say, and come up with a mythical family or something if it serves the story, which is also, the story could also be a lie. I don't know. I think it's okay to use myth to illustrate a point. For instance, I'll be at a cocktail party and I'll say to somebody, like I'm trying to make a point about something, I'll say, I am the president of a bank and I have some investment opportunities, let's say. And if you want to get in on them on the ground floor, I'm a little drunk right now, and I'd be open to that opportunity. I mean, so to speak. And then one thing lead to another. You get into a little trouble there. But really, I'm just being figurative. I'm just saying to you, oh my gosh, I may be a bank president. Because I'm on the right path. When I was young, I had relatives say, make sure that you're going on a path to success. I go, how will I know it's a path to success? They will say, you will know it's a path to success, but you constantly be asked to suspend your disbelief and your morals and everything and your compass, your right and wrong. And okay, yes. Why would that make me successful? You will be unencumbered then. You will be driven by one thing and one thing alone. The idea of success, probably of financial success, possibly of power over others. Do you want power over others? If you do, just go ahead and play with little toys and everything. That should be fine. Not people, though. Oh, people are more fragile than you think they are. And they're sturdier. So I don't know. How can people be more fragile than you think they are and more sturdy than you think they are at the same time? And I'll tell you how. I don't know what you're thinking. That's how that works. So in my mind, it's a Schrodinger's cat thing. Their thoughts are in your head, but I don't know which one you're thinking. So they could be happening simultaneously. As far as I'm concerned, I'm making assumptions. Oh, I do that constantly. I can't read your mind, and you cannot read mine. And how do I know? Because I've had it encrypted. And how do I know that? I don't know that for sure. That's how many layers of encryption there are. I'm not even sure it's happened. But I'm pretty sure that I am a mystery to myself on many, many levels. Some are fundamental. Who am I? I don't even know my own name sometimes. So don't kid about that. I was not, I didn't name myself this. Well, I did actually name myself Hardy White. So I'm going to end that right there. Thank you. I chose that name. Or did the name choose me?
Pick one, please.
Pick one. Poets can't do multiple choice questions. Say all of the above, all of the above, all of the above in some way. That's what the poetry test would be. Say yes. Depends. All of the above. Depends how you look at it. It's about angles, man. It's about facets. What is A, B, C? What are these facets? They're not answers. Ways of looking at things. I can take that language and I can turn it around and I can make A, B, and B, C, and C, B, and B, and A, B, and who's B, C? And from the comics. Can make that too. Could take B, C, make him into the Wizard of Id if I wanted to. Using letters. I learned that from children's shows. A lot of what we think is manipulation of language is. Oh, I can't believe it, but we're almost out of time. We can't be out of time. It's endless, isn't it? No, it's not. But it's immeasurable. Therefore, you don't know when it's up. So you can't. It's something you can't be out of. But it's immeasurable. You can be out of it. It's not infinite. It's what's the other word? Almost infinite. Where it's it's uncountable. But it doesn't go on forever, because we don't know what forever is. And forever might not be forever. What? I don't know, friend. I thought you'd be gone by now. So I didn't have anything planned. I really literally thought they're out at the 34-minute mark. And so I'll just, after that, just vamp, rab, vav, jive, vamp, what do you call it? Scamp. I'm going to scamp a little. I know that's not the word. Scat? No, scat does mean both, literally is supposed to mean that, to duty, just to throw your poo around, but in a creative way, to use words like that, to improvise. Words aren't the only thing I'm improvising. I'm improvising my love for you too, my friend, my fellow human being. I don't know how long we all have on this earth. It's very difficult. It really is. And I know that we're all the same. I know that sometimes you might be cruel, and sometimes your anger gets the best of you, and I know that you feel guilty for that on some level sometimes, and I'm telling you, I understand. Oh, if we could just break through that, if you could just let your defenses down, if you could just open your heart for 2 seconds, you could see that your fellow man is not your enemy. Please let us in. Let yourself be. There are those who want to embrace you. Let yourself be embraced. Let yourself be loved. Find those who love with open hearts. And turn yourself over to them. Give yourself over to those who would love. And come on over. I know that you, a lot of us have felt and done things that have hardened our hearts. And we think that's who we are now. And we can't face those others. And we can't open our eyes to see that what we do to others, we do to ourselves. And it's so difficult to look at. But open your eyes. I'm telling you, we'll catch you. We're going to catch you. There's others here. There's so many great hearts and loving people. Oh, and we're going to open our arms. We're here. We've got wide wings. Come, let us embrace you. Please, oh, my friend, come into the fold. Be our siblings. Be our fellow creatures. You are listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, and online at WFMU.org. Thank you so much for joining me, as you do every week. I almost said religiously. I don't mean like that. I mean religious with, it's like some would say Catholic with a small c. Like you have very, what Catholic taste you have in jazz? Thank you. I'm very much into Catholic jazz. What? What? All right, friends. Well, thank you for joining me, and I will see you again next week. I'm Hardy White.